皆さんおはようございます。
おはようございます。
今日は、サーシャさんが、ご連絡で、ボタンをですね、たくみくんに、お願いしました。私たちの主、イエス・キリストの皆のもとに、メッセージをさせていただきたいと思います。よろしくお願いします。
This morning we're going to have a speak about the trees of Montgomery and Montgomery and Sasha will and Takumi will push the button.
はい。それでは。この写真を見てください。僕はちょっと僕の話になるんですけども、僕はパワースポット巡りじゃなくてですね、日めくりがちょっとした趣味でですね、自転車で水戸の中を仕事の合間に走ってるんですけど、でその合間合間でいろんな木を見てるんです。でその中でもですね、格別素晴らしいのはですね、この六地蔵寺の銀杏の木なんですね。でこの木はですね、大きさは大体この教会ぐらいの高さがあるんです。でですね、この枝の太さといったらですね、どのぐらいでしょう、本当にこの教会2つ分ぐらいあるんじゃないですかね、横浜でいうと本当に広いんですね。なのでそこの下にですね、夏になると参拝に来た参拝客の方々がですね、たくさん休んでるんですね。おじいさんとかおばあさんとか、また子供とか、僕もよくパン屋働いた時はよくその下で休んでました。そしてですね、秋になるとですね、ものすごいたくさん銀杏を落とすんですね。臭いんですね。で、それを集めにですね、たくさんのまた方々が集うんです。これはですね、ここのお寺がですね、ずっとお寺の中心にあるんですけど、ずっと大切に、樹齢800年なんですけど、ずっと引き継いで大切にしてきたから、神様が与えてくださった恵みだと僕は思うんですね。
Please take a look at this picture, and isn't this a great tree? I really love trees, and between the times that I'm working, I ride my bike around Mito, and I like to visit various trees as a way to refresh myself. And in the time since I've moved to Mito, I think I've probably seen every tree in the city. And after having seen all of the trees, I think that the most impressive tree is this one. It's a ginkgo tree that's growing in the on the grounds of a temple near my neighborhood. It's about 800 years old, but it's still healthy and strong. And it's probably about as tall as this church building, and its branches reach out about twice as wide as this building. So it's very tall and very wide. It's just a huge tree. And it's in the center of the grounds of this small temple. And there's a lot of people who come to the temple in the summertime, especially to worship, and a lot of, especially older women and older men and some children, and they can rest underneath this tree. And also in the autumn, people come to collect the ginkgo nuts that fall from the tree, and there's just so many that you can't count them. And they're a little bit smelly, but people come to collect them. And the temple, for a long, long time, has taken really good care of this tree, and it's become a blessing.
は遡りましてですね、アブラハムの時代においてもですね、これと同じように一つの象徴的な木が出てくるんです。その木が今日お話しするマムレの木という木なんですね。で、そのマムレの木はカシの木でですね、どんぐりか、どんぐりの実らす木の仲間でですね、とても強い木、だと言われているんですね。で、マムレというのも力強いという意味らしいんですけども、その木は神様から の祝福を象徴する木だと言われています。今日はその木を通して祝福してくださる神様、また約束を守り通してくださる神様について一緒に考えていきたいと知っていきたいと思います。
So today let's turn our attention to Abraham, and in his story there's also a very interesting tree or trees, and it's the trees of Mamre. those trees were oak trees, and so they produce something like acorns, and we can think of them as really strong trees. But just to say the trees of Mamre doesn't have a lot of meaning for us, so let's think about them as symbols of the blessings that Abraham received. When we think about those trees, let's think about the God who blesses us and who faithfully keeps his promises to us.
少し創世記を遡りましてですね、初めのアブラハムに与えられた約束をみんなで振り返りたいと思います。の故郷にいたアブラハムに神様はこのように言って証明しました。主はアブラハムに言われた。あなたは生まれた故郷、父の家を離れて私が示す地に行きなさい。私はあなたを大いなる国民にし、あなたを祝福し、あなたの名を高める。祝福の源となるように、あなたを祝福する人を私は祝福し、あなたを呪う者を私は呪う。地上の種族はすべてあなたによって祝福に入る。
So let's look back at the first promise that God made to Abraham when he met God while he was still living in Ur. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's house. Hold and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
このようにここで神様はアブラハムに、アブラハムとアブラハムの子孫、それを全て続けて私はあなたを祝福するということを約束されました。またアブラハムを祝福する人を祝福し、またアブラハムに災難を加える人、または危害を加える人、そういう人を私は同じように呪うと約束しました。
So in this way, in the land that God had shown him, God promised to bless Abraham's descendants. He promised to bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed Abraham.
約束をもらってアブラハムは主を信じて自分の故郷から出てカナンの地に向かいました。
When he heard these promises, Abraham believed God. He obeyed his words and started his journey.
ですね、アブラハムはカナンの地に到着しました。そしてその時にまた神様はアブラハムに語りかけました。アブラハムに言われた。さあ目を上げて、あなたがいる場所から東西南北を見渡しなさい。見える限りの土地をすべて私は永久にあなたとあなたの子孫に与える。あなたの子孫を大地の砂粒のようにする。大地の砂粒が数えきれないように、あなたの子孫も数えきれないであろう。さあこの土地を縦横に歩き回ればよい。私はそれをあなたに与えるから。アブラハムは天幕を移し、ヘブロンにあるマムレのカシの木のところに削り、そこに主のための祭壇を築いた。
When Abraham arrived in Canaan, the Lord spoke to him again, and this is what he said. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had departed from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk along the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. He built an altar to the Lord.
で、神様は約束の大地をあなたに与える。ここの地であなたは栄えなさい。と約束の大地を与えました。で、また、と同時に、あなたの子孫はこの地で、この地をずっと元に栄えていくという約束を与えました。
This was the promised land, the place of God's glory, his blessing. And in that place there were trees of Mamre. It was a place that Abraham decided to live after receiving God's blessing. It seems like this place was a symbol of God's promise to Abraham, a strong reminder that even though it was a foreign land, Canaan was the promised land to Abraham.
はい、こっちにマンベルの木があったんですね。その祝福された、初めにアブラハムがここに住もうと決めたところにマンベルの木が立っていたんですね。でそこの木は、そこの木じゃなくて、そこの地はですね、アブラハムにとって初めて来たところであって、本当に心細い時であったと思うんですね。その時に目の前に現れたそのカシの木は、きっと力強いものとしてアブラハムには見えていたんじゃないのかなと思います。またそれを見てアブラハムは自分の約束を思ったのじゃないのかなと思います。神様との約束をですね。それではですね、その木の祝福のもとでアブラハムは確かにこの後に祝福を受けていったんですが、その事実を見ていきます。見ていきたいと思います。
So in that place of blessings, and at that, the foot of those trees, the blessing that Abraham received was so many other, he received so many other blessings as well.
マンベルの木のイメージなんですけども、はい、一番の祝福、アブラハムの人生においての一番の祝福は何だったか、というと、それはイサクを、孫の、孫じゃないですね、子供の、イサクを授かったことだと思います。アブラハムはサラもですが、二人とも本当に光栄な二人でした。もう自分が子供をもらえるなんて、信じていなかったと思うんですね。だけども神様はそのマムレの木のもとで三人の使者を送ってアブラハムに約束しました。私はあなたに、あなたに子供を授けるよ、サラから子供を授けるよということで、約束をしたんですね。でその通りに、子供を、授かって、本当に2人が喜んでいた姿が創世記の21章の1節から8節で、語られています。ちょっと読み上げます。サラが言いました。神は私に笑い、イサクをお与えになった。聞く者は皆私と笑いを共にしてくれるでしょう。また、言いました。誰がアブラハムに言えたでしょう。サラはここに父を含ませるだろうと。しかし私は子を産みました、年老いた夫のために、このように、言っているんですね。でまた父離れの日には、盛大に祝宴を開いたということも言われています。そこからもイサクの成長を本当に喜んでいたんだなと、二人が喜んでいたんだなということが分かります。
The first blessing was IsaacAbraham and Sarah had absolutely no hope left of having children, but God sent messengers and promised this, and he remembered them and gave them a child just as he had promised. And they rejoiced. That's what we can see in Genesis 21, 1-8. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children?Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And it's also written there that they had a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. When we see all this, we can understand that they were really rejoicing continuously as they watched Isaac grow.
二つ目はですね、サラとの生涯だったと思うんですね。それは創世記の23章の2節から語られているところから分かるんですけれども、サラが亡くなるときにアブラハムはサラのために胸を打ち嘆き悲しんだ、そのように書かれています。胸を打って嘆き悲しんだ、そしてそのマムレの木のもとにお墓をですね、大金を払ってアブラハムは買ったんですね。というのは、それはもしサラとの関係がうまくいってなかったら、大事はって思ってたらですね、そんなことは絶対にしなかったと思うんですね。本当にサラのことを最後まで愛していたから、伴侶として大切にしていたから、そういうふうにしたんだと僕は思うんですね。それはアブラハムが失敗ばかりしているアブラハムにとってはですね、アブラハムはその後でも語るんですけども、サラのことを何度も裏切っているんですね。で、そういうアブラハムにとってはもし神様の祝福とお守りがなかったら、そんなことはなかったと思うんですね。
The second blessing was Abraham's relationship with Sarah. When we look in Genesis 23 from verse 2, When she died, Abraham was really heartbroken. It says that he mourned and wept for her, and in some translations it says that he beat his chest. He also paid a lot of money to bury her in a place that was near the trees of Mamre. We can see from his actions that to the end he really loved her deeply, and if he didn't love her, there's no way that he would have done the things that he did for her. Those actions came from his love. If it weren't for God's blessings and protection, Abraham, who just failed so many times, there's no way that he would have had that kind of relationship with Sarah.
3つ目はアブラハムの老後の生活だと、です。創世記の24章1節にこのように書かれています。アブラハムは多くの日を重ね、老人になり、主は何事においてもアブラハムに祝福をお与えになっていた。アブラハムの後世はここに書かれている通り、平安で豊かであったものだと予想できます。そしてですね、アブラハムも最後は亡くなった時にサラと一緒に同じマムレの木の元のお墓に入りました。
The third blessing was Abraham's long life, and the blessings that he had in his old age. It says that he was blessed in every way, and that's in Genesis 24, the beginning of that chapter. And from what is written there, future generations, including us, we can imagine his peaceful and rich retirement. And when he was died, he was buried together with Sarah in the same place.
このように神様の祝福のもと、マムレの木のもとで、さまざま良いことが起きてきました。また一方でですね、その外によって、外に行くことによって、生じた災いというものもありました。それが今日の、創世記の20章で描かれていた部分です。
Abraham was blessed many, many times in that place of God's promise. But on the other hand, there were also times when Abraham was separated from that place and separated from God's blessings. And that's what we see in chapter 20 of what was read today.
アブラハムが祝福を今日読んだところですね、離れた結果ですね、何を起こしたかというと、アブラハムは一度エジプトでやった間違いをもう一度繰り返します。何をするかというと、自分の奥さんのことを妹だと偽り、アビメレク王に、自分の奥さんを与えてしまうんですね。それによってアブラハムの失敗なのに、アビメレク王も呪いの中に入りました。災いに陥ったんですね。そしてサラも同様にですね、サラも自分の妻としての権利、そういうものから、落とされて、女性としての権利も、失ってしまったと思うんですね。理由は分からないですけども、それはやっぱり飢饉からの恐れかもしれません。カナンの地がその時飢饉にあったのかもしれませんし、またはソドムとゴムラのその災難の後だったので、それに対する恐れがアブラハムにあったのかもしれません。しかしやっぱり神様とのその約束、祝福を忘れずにその地にとどまるべきであったんじゃないのかと考えます。
Here we can read about the problems that, that came up because Abraham was separated from God's blessings. We can see that just as he had done in Egypt, Abraham again called his wife his sister. And the result was misfortune, not just for Abraham, but also for Abimelech and for a lot of other people as well.God's blessing in given into the hands of Abimelech became a curse on him and his household. It also became a blemish on Sarah as well. Abraham's actions disregarded her value as a wife and as a woman and as a blessing that he had received from God. I don't know his reasons for what he did it, but maybe it was because of his fear of being in a place of famine, or his fear of what had just happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. But it seems like if he had really trusted God's promises, if he'd stayed in a place trusting in God, then he wouldn't have been separated from that. And maybe,
ロトについても同様です。ロトはアブラハムと共に祝福の地に入ることもできたと思います。また、 一緒に歩んでいくことができたはずなんですね。それをやめたロトは自分の力で彼の道を切り開いていこうと、自分の力でソドムとゴモラで生きていこうと考えていました。しかし、ソドムとゴモラは罪と汚れが横行した地でありました。その中にだんだんと染まっていくアブラハムじゃないですね、ロト。やっぱりそのロトは主の祝福、約束から離れた結果としては罪と死が待っていたのかなと。
And Lot's story was much the same. In order to follow his own path, Lot left his life with Abraham and the blessings that he had received from being together with Abraham inside of God's promise. Himself in Sodom and Gomorrah, a place where sin really just ran rampant. And in the midst of that, he became stained as well. And so the result for Lot of being separated from God's promises and his blessing was sin and death.
ですね、いつも変わらずに、確認していましたが、いつも変わらずにマムレの木、そして神様の約束というものはありました。主はアブラハムに与えたカナンの地において、その木はアブラハムとその子孫たちの生涯にわたってその傍らで見守っていることがわかります。それは初めに祝福された時も、また3人の使者が来た時も、サラの死の時も、自分自身の死の時も、またその先の子供たちの死の時にも、その横にありました。先ほど見た通りに、時にアブラハムが人生で間違った選択をしたとしても、だとしても神様はいつも信仰深く約束を守られました。そしてそこにはマムレの木が立っていました。
Always, without changing, the trees of Mamre stood like God's promises. In Canaan, the land that God gave to Abraham, the trees stood watching over the whole lives of Abraham and his descendants. When Abraham first entered the land that God promised to him, when the three messengers came to him, when Sarah died, even when Abraham himself died, and when Abraham's children died, even now that tree, that promise, is still standing.And as we saw before, despite Abraham's poor decisions, God faithfully kept his promise. And that's the place where the trees of Mamre stand, the place where God.
は私たちの人生においても、一人一人の人生においても同じなんではないでしょうか。やっぱり神様はいつでも、自分たちがどんなふうな時にでも神様はいつも約束を守ってくださいます。嘘はつきません。はじめに果たした私たちの約束を、死ぬまで、また死んでからもその祝福を守ってくださいます。だから私たちはその祝福の中にとどまっていくこと、そのことが大切なのではないでしょうか。
We can say the same for our lives. Our God richly blesses us, blesses those who obey Him, and faithfully keeps His promises. He doesn't ever lie to us, andHe keeps his promise to us throughout our lives and even after our lives. His promise is eternal. So even though we have times of drought or fear or times when our faith is weak, it's just for those times that God gave us the trees of Mamre and the promised land.
最後に質問を、今週置いていきたいと思います。一つ目は、私たちの人生におけるそのマムレの木、そしてそこに祝福されるカナンの地というものは一体何なのか、または誰なのかという質問です。また二つ目は、現在自分はその地にあるのか、またその地を大切にしているのかということですね。で、三つ目は、過去の自分が叶えてしまった経験はどのような時であったか。アブラハムは同じ過ちを繰り返しています。私たちも同じように、同じ人ですから、過ちを繰り返すのではないでしょうか。
So this week I'd like to leave you with three questions. For life, what or where is your tree of Mamre or your promised land? Now, are you in that place of God's blessing? We're probably a lot like Abraham. We all live the same types of things. Think aboutWhether or not you've ever experienced separation from that place of blessing.
ありがとうございました。それでは、かかし上、します。まず、この名前、のりをします。続いて、お引きいただきます。
すごい緊張してます。
大丈夫。
ありがとうございます。まず、はじめに、このオペを伝えていただいたときに、原稿を考えていて、一瞬、いや、かもしれないっていうことを考えた、頭を拭ったんですけれども、そのとき、まあ、何度も何度も、なんか、教会の皆様に、まあ、始まってこう、してもらって、ちょっと、今日は、家族がみんな、来られなくて、なんていうか、教会に来たら皆さんなんか今日は頑張ってねってこう、声をかけてくださって、本当になんか家族のように、なんかとってもそれがなんか、原稿を考えてきたんですけど、もうそれが本当に一番の証だなって思いました。そのわけで、私にとっての、まあ、教会っていうのは、まあ、私の人生を支えて、まあ、恵みをもたらして、安息を与えてくれる場所だと、大きなミスをしてしまって、まあ、落ち込んでいるとき、まあ、将来に、とか、教会に足をよく運ぶんですけれども、結構、教会の皆さんや、教会っていう存在に本当に励まされて、すいません、声小さくて、支えられて、そして最後にはやっぱりどうにかなるかもしれないっていう思いと前へ進むことができました。それはクリスチャンになってからもさまざまな場面においてそうだったんですけれども、もし教会に行かったら今頃は全く違った人生を送っていたとは全然想像できないんですけれども、ですがそんな神様が用意してくださった素晴らしい場所にもかかわらず、やはり神様や教会から足が遠のくことがあります。先ほどガックンがお話ししてくださったアブラハムとマムレの木の話もすごくって思ってしまうんですけれども、そして生きていくのは本当に大変なことだし、こう理解されなかったり周りのみんなにこう流されて、やっぱりこう気持ちが弱くなったり自信をなくしてしまったり神様を見失ってしまうこともあるんですけれども、しかしこんな私でも見捨てることなく、神様はいろいろな人を介して直接私たちさんと教会で導いて、私にこの恵みの中に引き留めて、仕事の関係やいろいろな誘惑が与えられたこの恵みから離れることなく、神様の死があるのではないかと思っています。語ることのできる時で恵みから離れないように、神様の愛を求め祈り、皆さんと一緒に歩んでいきたいと思います。すみません、はい、証でしたが、まだまだクリスチャンとして、未熟な私の話をここまで耳を傾けてくださったことに感謝しています。ありがとうございました。
I was asked to talk for a few minutes about my great trees of Mamre in my life. To do that, I have to tell you a little bit about the last few years of my life. When I think about where my great trees of Mamre is, I can't help but think about Japan, and specifically Ibaraki. I first moved to Mito in the spring of 2007. Stayed for 3 years, and then I moved back to Oklahoma in the spring of 2010. I stayed there for 2 years, and just came back to Mito 6 months ago. I made the decision to leave Japan and move back to Oklahoma due to an assortment of reasons. I did spend a lot of time in prayer, seeking God's guidance before making this decision. And while after leaving Japan, I immediately thought to myself, why did I just leave such a wonderful place, great job, and amazing friends and church family? Looking back with 2020 hindsight, I truly believe that God had at least a couple of big reasons to send me back when he did. My 2 years in America were the hardest 2 years of my life. At first, I was struggling with severe reverse culture shock and greatly missing all the wonderful friends I had made in Japan, and especially my old students and their cute, smiling faces that I was used to seeing every single day. I was constantly asking the question, why? Why did I come back? What am I doing here? Apart from being glad to be near family and some old friends again, I was not happy. I was also dealing with a lingering case of tendonitis in my elbows, which had originally started from surfing too much about 6 months before I left Japan. This was keeping me from being able to do a lot of active things that I loved doing with my friends and family, like playing tennis and basketball or working out. Things that had always been good stress relievers for me and would have helped me enjoy my time more being back in Oklahoma. My hope after moving back was to get a job somewhere as a PE teacher. And despite applying for every opening I could find, personally hand-delivering my resume to the principal of each school that had an opening, and attending numerous teacher job fairs, I was unable to secure even one interview, much less a job. That didn't help my morale much. But God, months down the road, blessed me with a part-time job at a local coffee shop owned by some Christians. I had never had a service-type job before. I very rarely drink coffee, and I've always been a little shy. But apart from not getting paid much, this turned out to be one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. I was forced to come out of my shell and make small talk with all kinds of different people, which then sometimes led to much deeper conversations and some new friendships as well. I was blessed with a fun job, a great boss, great coworkers, and great customers to serve. I was still having a tough time, though. I still missed my life in Japan so much. And although I had tried a few different kinds of treatments for my elbows, they never healed completely. There were better times and worse times regarding the pain in my arms, but they actually, over time, had gotten worse, not better. Because of the pain, there were so many little things that I couldn't do. Things that you don't even think about, and you take for granted your ability to do them. And also things at work that I would have to ask for help with, or refuse a coworker's request for help because of my inability to help, and remind them of my physical problem. So hard for me. Every time I had to say no to someone, or ask for help with something, my pride took a hit. God was chipping away at my pride a little bit more every day. I always thought that I was a fairly humble guy, but I guess that in itself is prideful. The next big struggle, and maybe the most difficult that I had to deal with, started in the fall, about 6 or 7 months after I moved back from Japan. At that time, I found out that I was gluten intolerant, meaning that I cannot eat or drink anything with wheat, barley, or rye in it. This was extremely difficult for me. My whole life, I was always eating bread and more bread, or things with flour in them. Eating freely is another one of those things that you take for granted until you can't do it anymore. I didn't realize it until after I found out about my problem and had to start thoroughly reading the ingredient labels of every single item I picked up. But wheat is in everything. This was a very depressing time for me. Just accepting that this was even possible was extremely difficult for me, and I had essentially had to relearn how to feed myself and had to start cooking a whole lot more. With this new problem being stacked on top of my other problems with my arms, my life just seemed so limited, and this served to humble me even more. I couldn't even just go out to eat with my friends anymore. I had to be like, I'm sorry, I can't eat there, or my only options in this area are here or here. And I hate pushing my limitations onto the people around me. The good thing about discovering my food allergy problems, though, is that after cutting gluten from my diet, over time, my health started improving in a number of ways. And it made so much more sense looking back on the way my body had acted in certain situations years back into the past. If God had not sent me back to the U.S., I don't think I ever would have found out about my major problems, at least not while living in Japan. Through all of this, I was still wishing that I was back in Japan. And when the time came for John Osborne to begin finding people to become new AETs in Mito the next spring, I inquired about returning that year, but found out I couldn't come back since I had so recently left. Around March or April, after the March 11th Tohoku disaster, I started looking into other alternatives to get back to Japan, like working for a private company somewhere. And I prayed to God, "God, I trust in you. I want to be where you want me to be. If you want me back in Japan, please present me with an opportunity to return. If not, please help me to move on and make the best of my current situation." The next day, I received an email from the senpai at that time, Miranda Logwood, asking me if I would come back to Mito as an AET, because a few supposed to be future AETs had backed out of their commitments because of the current physical state of Japan. I was so excited. But then, after thinking about my current physical problems and about how difficult it would be to deal with my food problems in Japan, I got too scared and turned down the offer. I lacked true trust and faith in God that He would watch over me. After this, I truly moved on from life in Japan and accepted that I would probably never live in Japan again because it would just be too hard. Throughout the next year, I once again tried and failed at getting a job as a teacher. I continued to work at the coffee shop and scrape by until eventually I was offered a job at a Christian publishing company in the Oklahoma City area. I carefully considered and accepted the job. I was now working nights in the print shop of the publishing company and getting paid better as well. This type of job was also brand new to me. To make a long story short, I loved the job, but it was just too hard on my arms. I started going to physical therapy to try and get help, but the job was just too demanding on me physically. After a total of 4 months at the job, I quit, though I really didn't want to. From the combination of this job and the physical therapy, the tendonitis in my elbows got worse, and I developed severe strains in both of my forearms, which made many of the most basic tasks even more difficult to do. It got to where I couldn't even drive my car anymore, and public transportation is not really even an option in Oklahoma. After this, I started struggling really, really bad. Because of my food limitations, I had to cook every day and do a lot more on my own. But because of the pain and weakness in my arms, doing the things I had to do to take care of myself just caused even more pain. Like a never-ending cycle of pain and frustration and hopelessness. Emotions were on a roller coaster ride. I would be fine for a few days, then the next day I would find myself face down on the ground in tears, crying out to God, "Why is this happening to me? How long will this continue to go on? I can't take it anymore. Please heal me." This continued for a while. But as time went on, I began spending more and more time in regular prayer and more time reading and meditating on God's Word. This was something that I had been struggling with doing for a while. There was one specific passage of Scripture that continually gave me peace and encouragement. That was Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 13. I'll read it now. "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have not forgotten you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as son. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. After reading the scripture, among others, I began looking at myself and my life and what things I was struggling with and what I thought God was trying to change in me. I began to focus and work on these things and tried to spend time every day dwelling on God's word and in His presence. Though life was still difficult a lot of the time, I was being refreshed and I was growing and feeling more hopeful. One day, I met up with two godly men whom I had formed relationships with through the coffee shop, just to share my struggles with them and also my newfound hope and more positive outlook on life that I had been gaining recently. I just needed someone to listen so that I could talk, and I trusted both of them. I shared what I was feeling with them, and they both prayed over me. Then out of nowhere, one of the men, named Israel, started sharing with me what he felt like God was sharing with him in regards to me. He began to tell me about how when he would listen to me talk about Japan and my time there, my eyes and my heart would just light up, and about how he could tell that there was just this peace and comfort that I had in Japan and had been missing ever since I left. He also said he thought I had missed an opportunity from God when I turned down the job offer to come back to Mito as an AET, and that maybe what I needed to do was put my full trust in God and take a leap of faith to go back to Japan and to live and to serve and trust that God would take care of me no matter how difficult things might be. I completely moved on and ruled out living in Japan again, but talking to Israel reignited that flame of interest within me once more. I prayed and prayed more about this decision and asked for God's guidance, and well, obviously, I'm here again, settled near my great trees of Mamre. Living in Japan the second time has been much more difficult than the first time. My arms, for some reason, still haven't healed, and it is not easy to keep from eating the things that I shouldn't eat. My life is still very limited. Ever since returning to Mito, I have had a renewed sense of peace and joy reigning over my life. I've been so greatly blessed with a great job, great co-workers and students, a great place to live in a convenient location, and amazing friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who accommodate me, encourage me, pray for me, and help me out when I'm in need. I'm so glad to be back in Japan, but looking back now, I'm thankful for the 2 years I spent back in the U.S. It certainly wasn't easy, but I can now see the ways that God was working in my life and helping me to grow. I'm still a sinner and a long ways from where I want and need to be as a child of God, but I'm just that much closer thanks to the way God works in my life. Thank you.